Pilate. That was his escape. He was having these problems, you know, with us. And there was some gal looking for some guy. I'm a husband, I'm sure. And he was vulnerable. So that was his fun. And I found out about it. I was going, oh, what made me mad was I was just up to here with homework. I was going to school at night, so I'd get home at 10, so he had all evening, you know. And I just, you know, I really didn't think he'd be so low. I couldn't believe that even with all his faults, I thought surely he can see that I'm trying to pull myself together, that he'll give me credit for this, that I'm going to go to work, that I'm doing this for that reason, that he has a son who needs him, who is at home with him, and he can pull this. This is the ultimate in honor and disgrace. And I knew that I had to throw the book at him, and I didn't stop. Once I started, I did not stop. And I told him everything. I called him every name I could think of, screamed at him. I told him that he had no word, no honor, that I had tried to leave him many times and that he would not let me go, starting with Terry. I had seen lawyers, by the way, in between the time. I had forgotten about that, to tell you, because I had tried to find either we make some kind of an agreement or we stay together happily. But let's be honest. And to hang on to us and then sneak and not be honest and above board and then wait until we're really in trouble, until Terry has a child with who has to have brain surgery and has brain damage, and I'm involved in school. John's in junior high, and he can't cope with all of that. So he goes off and he finds himself a girlfriend. And of course, our sex life was bad because it had never been good anyway. So, you know, I'd given up. It was lousy, let's put it that way. But I was not an experienced girl. I was not one like I think my daughter, my second daughter, is probably more experienced than I was. I never knew anything about sex. And to me, life, you get married, and what you get is what you get, you know. And I didn't know anything, so I just took him for what he was. I didn't care for what he, you know, our sex life was nothing. And men know what it's all about, but a girl doesn't. And he knew that I wasn't, that I just didn't expect anything. And probably, I knew that I was missing something, because I'm not so stupid that I didn't hear other women talk, you know. And some of them were getting along pretty good. And there was a gal across the street who was always raving about her sex life and about her affairs. Now, she was older than I. She was 10 years older. And her husband, I don't know, they had an arrangement of some sort. And I just couldn't understand it, so I didn't get too close. However, it was interesting, you know. But I felt that it was godless and that I didn't think it was nice for a married woman to do those things. So I just didn't pay attention to sex at all. After the hysterectomy, I nearly went crazy, so I just avoided sex. The college, his wife is going to have a baby any minute, so he's stuttering. Did I get over my outburst?
I think so.
Wasn't funny.
No, I know I didn't.
No, I can laugh about it now. But I was full of hate. I hated his, everything about him. And I was determined to destroy him. And I almost stooped so low as to follow him. You know, you start to get a little sick. I wanted to know who she was, and I had other problems, and it was all beginning to catch up on with to, you know, I didn't think, I figured he'd broken up with him, but I hadn't forgiven him, and he was going to pay. Somehow, he was going to pay. Well, I haven't found the... I haven't found the measure yet. I think that he'll pay, but it'll have to come from his own conscience. We all answer to God, you know. I think he has paid in his own peculiar way. And so have I. I can't say that I'm not totally responsible for him turning away from us to another woman, in all fairness. It's been a marriage that probably shouldn't have taken place in the first place. It was a marriage that neither one of us could seem to walk away from. And evidently, he was just looking for an outlet. Even now... He still doesn't know what he wants, and we've been married 33 years, and I don't care anymore. I really don't. I think that finished it for me, because I thought that it was unforgivable. And so I have never really forgiven him. And it's a wonder I didn't go off and have an affair of my own. I really considered, I think I even looked for somebody, but I really was too old. I was getting up in years, and I was really quite involved with the young kids over there at Valley then. And outside of the professors, there wasn't, you know, there really wasn't that, you know, anybody for me. And I had kids to consider, and my daughter was having her problems. How could I add to that? To that mess. I certainly wasn't going to do that. There were a few opportunities, but I saw, there's something in me that I shy away. I scared me to death. A teacher asked me to go out to dinner, you know, my age. I don't know what he taught. But I was so glad that one of my girlfriends, a lady friend, came up and started talking to me. And I told him, I said, well, you know, we have something else to do. And I thought, because he really looked like he was trying to get interested in me. But still, I'm afraid of men. I really am. I wasn't going to go from one mess to another. So, no, I didn't get into any entanglement. I figured it would have just complicated things more. And I was praying an awful lot at the time, so I didn't think it went with what I had in mind. I don't think I don't think if you want honesty, I don't think you can be dishonest. However, I started watching him a lot closer, and he bugs me because he lies a lot. And I found out much, much later that that is when he started tampering with the money. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. I was thinking more of the woman and the, what do you call it, the betrayal. And so I suppose one betrayal leads to another betrayal. And in his head, in his mind, he started putting money away for that rainy day. You know, I think he figured he'd blown the marriage then, because I guess he saw that I was really, That's the only time that I've ever shown him rage. Mm-hmm. I always hated. I always wanted to be perfect and have a smile and always try to hide my feelings, where this time he saw an animal. I was furious. If you don't fight for yourself, you'll fight for your children and your grandchildren. And that's really what I was fighting about. I felt that not only had he hurt himself, I felt that he had hurt me, his children, and his grandson. And after all those years, if he wanted out, why the hell didn't he get out? And so, anyway, I gave him time. I mean, I was too devastated to see a lawyer. I thought about it. I called one. I was too upset. I didn't have any money. I didn't have a job. I went to the college and I asked them to give me a job. Anything! You know, just working in the Spanish department. You know, you look, you try. Nothing. And I have no I had no avenues, nothing. And I had other problems to deal with. So I dealt with them. And I took him out of my heart completely. And so I got closer to my neighbor next door who was older than I. She was about 70 years old and a widow. And I couldn't talk to my mother. I needed somebody. I felt an older person. I had learned from my college. You can learn so much from books. Young people are very idealistic, and they're living for the present. They're having fun. Certainly your teachers aren't going to talk to you. And so I talked to the lady next door, and I poured my heart out to her for the first time. She needed a friend, too. I mean, she was grieving over her lost husband. He had died 5 years before. And I guess she told me what I wanted to hear, was don't break up, don't let him go, men do, you know, she'd been through a 40-year marriage. Women of her kind put up with that sort of thing. And I guess I wanted to hear that. I wanted to hear, how did you cope with it? What did you do? How did you survive a 44-year marriage? And can you take this and come out? She says, yes, you can. Because I've got all the money. And she says, and women of that sort end up with nothing. She says, I have property. And I can have anything I want. And she says, I travel. I have the love of my children, and I'm happy. And she says, it's better to be alone with money than alone poor. So that was her way. And by then I had been ranting to all of my friends, and this one across the street told me the very same thing. You know, they had their affairs. Each went their way and had a little affair, yet they stayed together. And she told me that, too. She says, money is everything, Gloria. Hang in there. She says, remember that you're the wife and you're going to get the money. And just think of money. And you go out and spend it. Buy yourself some clothes. And I was listening. You see, I wanted to hear all of this. My mind was open to this. I wanted revenge anyway. And I was trying to figure out how he was going to pay. And my way of making him pay was to go out and open charge accounts. This was a neurotic way that I know now was wrong. So, of course, he was putting money away. And I was running up bills. I went out and bought myself a lot of clothes. It's a wonder I didn't buy a fur coat like they say women do. To make up for all that I had lost. Because I had been walking around in rags, believe you me. you know, when you're raising a family, and we really didn't have much. And, of course, that made him mad. The first time that I had really broken that chain was to go out and open charge accounts, and he was furious. But I figured I had it coming. I started getting my hair done to be beautiful. And I started thinking of selfish, which is what everybody, you know, think of yourself, and you have fun, and you go out. In fact, do what he did. That I could not do. I just don't have the stomach for it. And I told you I had an opportunity with that man. I'd bet you anything that if he knew that I would want him, he'd come right now. He's just looking for somebody, and I don't want that. Don't you think that's degrading? I feel that it was beneath me. If we're going to get a divorce, we should get a divorce, look for someone else, even if we never marry again, but it should be done clean. Mm-hmm. I don't like sneakiness. So, in as much as I put another or anything like that in my head, I did. I bought clothes, and I really kind of tried to get closer to him. I tried to build up a little sex life with him, even after that. And all this time, I'm talking to the girl across the street especially. In order to control the nausea that was in me. And my girlfriends don't know this. They don't know this. This was too deep, too personal. But since she knew about it, we could help. I don't know if she was helping me or not, but I think she helped. Then, of course, after I noticed that really I couldn't afford to charge accounts, I couldn't pay him. And I started looking more into the money. Now, you have to remember that he was working at Bakke then, now, and he was getting raise after raise after raise. And he is making a tremendous amount of money. And that was why I opened the charge accounts, because it looked like I was supposed to be well off. When you stop to think, he is receiving a pension from the Army. He was discharged from the Army on a disability. Mental disorder. And I didn't know it until 1963. He was discharged from the fire department. Disability, back problems, and then these pensions are tax free. He has a friend who gets him into Lockheed. By rights, he should not be there because of the discharge that he has. He lied all the way, and he was in security there for a while, working with top secret material. But I think they found out about it, and they took him out and put him somewhere else. He happens to be very intelligent. He has a high IQ. And of course, he's just having himself he's handsome, intelligent, and a little bit dingy. So the weakness that's in him is what allows people to get into his life and mislead him, you know? And that's why he should not be in charge of anything that's top secret over there. That's how top secret leaks get out. But anyway, the raises keep coming. And right now, he is making $500 a week at Lockheed, on top of the pension from the Army and from the fire department. So the good income. On top of that, he has the benefits. And so, of course, I think that I, you know, really got something. However, he's got the check so butchered that he will let me have the pensions. One goes to the gardener, the army pension pays for the gardener because he will not touch anything around here. No work at all. And the I have learned now that I will take the pension from the fire department, and I now am paying all of the bills, the utilities and the house bill and all of that. And then he gives me as little as possible, that as little as he knows that he can get away with from the Lockheed check. And that's my food money. And I'm trying to save. So I hope that this will not get out. But I just got smart enough when I found, you know, after I went to West Valley, I took calculating machine, you know. So I dug and dug and dug and dug and dug and finally found all the statements, put them all in order, the ones that he happened to forget and that I could get my hands on, and tallied all the money that he's put aside, more or less. Well, no, when you have a statement, it's all there. And it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So I figured, well, I better start putting a few hundred away. And so I am trying to save a little money. But it's not easy because I don't have that much money to work with. So anyway, that's really where I'm at right now, is that he has still got one foot out the door and one foot in the door. He knows that I have a memory and that I haven't. You know, he brings it up every once. Oh, you think I had a girlfriend, and you have no proof. And I remember the lipstick that was on his clothes, and that I pointed out to him, and how he used to leave, you know, unexplained long evenings. I don't like to watch people that closely. I figured I had. You can do that with your kids. You have to guide them, but not a grown man. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't know his own mind, then he's in trouble. So we're just headed for heaven only knows. He still doesn't know. He still puts in his little digs. Just last week, we went to visit John. And we were coming up a street, and he says, I'm perfectly happy sitting there like a dumbbell next to him. John wasn't home, so we ate at a little coffee shop. And I'm not saying a word, just sitting there, and he says, oh, he says, didn't we go out to dinner at a house around here, he says, when some guy from Lockheed who owned a one of those batting practices, he says, remember we went out to dinner to that buddy Batty's house? You know, it was around here, remember? No! I said, you mean Buddy's bat away? And I said, the guy that had that bat, they have a batting practice thing. I said, he invited us to dinner. And he says, yeah, it's right around here, remember? And I wasn't with him. So then I thought, should I let it go? And this is just last week. Or should I call it to his attention? So I said, Roy, that was not me you went to dinner with at Buddy's. That was your girlfriend. And I said, is this where Buddy lives around here? And he said, there you go again, always accusing me. And he says, that was you. Don't you remember? And I says, no, Roy, that was not me. I didn't even know that that guy lived around here. And I said, you even took her out to dinner and you passed her off as your wife? I said, don't get me started. So then he gets real quiet, and Either if a man with his IQ can be that stupid, or he's just being, you know, he's just pulling another one of his cute little tricks.
Mm-hmm. What do you see for you in the future? For you personally, how you will deal with this?
I don't want him. I don't want the old fool. I know it's a memory, and I know that it probably just turns him on to think that, we did discuss that. I said, I remember that. I said, I remember how mad I was, and I said, that you really enjoy bringing that up and reminding me. I said, I was completely oblivious to, and you know, I'd forgotten. I said, but you have to keep reminding me. And I said, you know, I said, the only thing that bothered me was that I never did get to meet her. And I think I was trying to show him that I just don't give a damn. If you, I'm being very, very horrible. I say terrible words, but I do it on purpose. And I said, although I think I did get a glimpse of her once, I think she was a clerk in a drugstore, and she had buck teeth, and she was very homely, probably desperate. And I said, the best thing that ever happened to her was, I said, to get away from you. And he said, are you kidding? He said, well, it broke her heart into a million pieces. And I said, well, how did you get out of it? And I said, I know that you were just having a little fling, and that since you were married, you were safe. You didn't really want her because you don't want any woman. And I said, how did you manage to get rid of her? So he says, well, he says, I told her I was married and had three kids, and that I decided to stay with my family. And I said, well, that was a convenient way to get out of it. I said, are you sorry? And he says, no. And I said, well, I hardly knew what to say. I had run out of cute little things to say. I was beginning to get mad. And that's what he wants. He wants to make me mad and hurt me. And if I think that my voice is going to shake, or if I'm going to act offended, or if, you know, if he knows that he's hurting me, then I will stop and I'll be very quiet. And so usually next day I'll go out and do some shopping. And so that was Thursday, but it just ruined my weekend. And he thought I was going to work for Mark Mulholland on Saturday. I had told him that I was. And then Mark called Friday night and called it off because his equipment had broken. But he had already made other plans, and he hadn't told me about them. He thought I was going to go off to work, and then he was going to go off golfing. So then he told me that he was going golfing. So I just didn't do anything Saturday. I didn't work. He went golfing. And I kind of halfway expected John to come over. Nobody came over. And I brooded. And as far as, yeah, I thought of the future. And my future is the ideal future would be to be self-sufficient. I'm working on that very hard. And to be away from him. I don't like his little digs. And I don't like to be used. And the lack of respect and the lack of consideration and the lack of love. Uh, I would like to have a shelter. I would like to have a home. Anything. I'm heading into old age. Let's face it, I'm going to be 56 next month. I want to be involved in some kind of social activity. I feel that I need that. I would like to have a part-time job. I don't know if I can hold down a full-time job just yet. I've already applied for one. I'm going for an interview tomorrow with Berlitz. They teach, they said they would train. They have their own method, and they want bilingual people. And I hope that I'm not too old, that they don't see me as being too old. I've already had half of an interview on the telephone, and I speak Spanish and English. The Spanish will come back. If you get away from a language, at first you're very rusty when you go back to it. But the more you get into it, the more it comes back.